So in our Wednesday night meeting, we've been going through the Healing School from Andrew Womack's Charis Bible. And Barry Bennett is one of the teachers, and he's a great guy. And they're doing a question and answer thing, and he said something. They were asking, I think it was, if I remember right, about why more miracles happen overseas than it does, you know, in America. And he just said, and one of the things he just brought out, he says, I wish we could actually see what takes place when we get born again. The miraculous that takes place. And and that, I think it sparked a heart in all of us, you know. And for me, it took me back to 1975, I think. And I'd gone to a year of Bible school, and then I'd left, and I had this dream called I called it the mission home. And from the time I was a teenager on, I had, I was thinking about what to do and all that. And so I had this vision or this dream, and I was telling people about it, about my plans, and my plans were to find a piece of property, like especially up in the Black Hills or someplace, where we could bring kids from Chicago and inner cities, and they were all messed up and didn't have no sense of life and et cetera, and just take care of that, you know, and make them split wood in the morning, you know, early, and have prayer time, and then work and work to their hands. And then my sister Deb ended up going to Chicago and working with them for about a year, wasn't it? And Cabrini Greens, which if you ever heard about that, it was a notorious place. I think 80% of the people were under 16 or 18. They've torn it down. It was, she and her husband Lauren were dodging bullets. Literally, I mean, they'd come out of some place and have to duck down because it was just a horible place. But anyway, that was part of my, and just to, it'd be a, what, my dream was to have a discipleship center where we'd grow people up, especially ones that just had, you know, tough times or didn't have family or whatever else, and we'd build facilities there, big lodge, we'd have them work, we'd have them play, we'd have them become family. And then they'd be missionaries and go out and whatever else, but they'd always could come back to the mission home, a home with a mission. And it still sounds pretty cool to me. I'd drawn up plans. I got all kinds of people, you know, were saying, man, I want to be involved in that. So there was a lot of people kind of almost put their life on hold waiting for me to put this thing together or the Lord to put it together. So we were actually in 1975, I went back to Haviland, Kansas, where I went to Bible college, and we just gathered up some of the people in just a time of prayer. And when we prayed, we really did pray. When we fast, we'd fast 3 weeks at a time. When we prayed, we would pray for days, you know. So when you talk about some of those extreme things that some people have done, I've been there. And I gathered up, I don't know how many guys we had, probably about, 5 to 10 guys. And we found an old school bus there that I can't remember the circumstances. But we found a school bus, and we met it, and we started praying early in the morning, and we prayed all day there, walking up and down the aisle of the school bus and just praying. And so sometimes we're praying out loud and, you know, together. Other times we just separate and just keep on praying, move from seat to seat, whatever else. And and during that time then, I was several things happened. One of them, I remember, was the revelation came to me of Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's the Spirit of God brought that scripture to me. I started speaking it out loud. I just started saying, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I just fell out of the Lord, and I just kept on saying that. I don't know how long I said it. I just kept on saying it. And the others kind of pulled off of their prayer time and started listening because they knew something was stirring. And I don't remember how long it went, but I just kept saying it, and boy, all of a sudden it came, and then my voice changed, and I go, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Right now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Man, it just started burning in our hearts. There was no exception to that. It was a powerful thing, and man, we just start feeling this, oh my gosh, we are free, because we all came in there feeling, we all have guilt, shame, embarrassment about our life, and to this day. And I have to go back to that foundation so many times and just renew my mind, saying, you know, it doesn't take me to do much of anything wrong, and I feel the condemnation, and I feel weaker, and I feel less confident in praying and all that, and I think you probably do too. And you got to get some, you know, I was just thinking about foundations this morning as we were singing, just when we were building houses, every house I built for a while, somebody else had done the foundation, and every one of them was wrong. And so I finally started laying my own block because I was a little bit anal. I didn't want anything to be off by more than an eighth of an inch. Well, that's a little extreme. But I tell you this, man, by the time you put the windows in, you put the gutter on, you put the... If the house is perfect, the foundation is right, everything else goes so much easier. And when it's off, you fight your head all the way through. How much more in our life when our foundation is right? So sometimes, you know, I only did a couple houses where I jacked up a house and put a new foundation underneath it. That's a little, in fact, the way we did it back then, there wasn't all this equipment out there and stuff. We were farm people. I mean, I just jacked it up, put it on some blocks, and got underneath them. And by the end of the afternoon, I was thinking, man, I hope this don't fall. Because I was not always, safety first was not my law. A little spooky to get your foundation remodeled. Even in your own life, there's times when you got to kind of stop what's on top and go down deep and get the foundation right. And it's a little spooky. And it's hard to deal with foundational belief systems that are wrong. But if you get it right, everything else on top then gets easier. So I'm going to have Chad come and read this morning a familiar scripture, John 3. And remember how we talked about how sometimes just a tweak, always use the idea of a carburetor on a lawnmower because I got so much experience, but just tweaking the idle, you know, tweaking the jet sometimes will take a motor that's running rough and make it run smooth. And so sometimes in our own personal lives, it doesn't always need a major overhaul, it just needs a tweak. And sometimes our foundation, just a tweak, will make a lot of difference on how everything else is working out for us. So that's kind of the theme I want you to think about as we go into this message.
All right, good. Now I'm on the right page here. All right. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life."
So, this passage is a foundation for everything that we believe in almost. So we're just going to talk a little bit about that. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. I make this joke every time, but it still fits. Lisa and I had our first child. We just lambed about, we dropped out about 600 ewes in about 3 days, had lambs, and that's a lot if you don't know. You know, we were just working night and day, and I think I got home at midnight, and she says, "I think it's time to go." And I said, "You got to be kidding me." I was just exhausted, you know. And then so we went, and yeah, and the doctor was, we were doing as natural as we could, and our doctor is so good about that. And she said, "Well, Lisa, you're just, this is going to go great. This is going to go great." Well, 24 hours later, it wasn't great. We're still there. And by this time, I'm getting exhausted. I love to do that because I swear I'm going to get stoned one of these days from all the women, you know. And then it was 48 hours. And now I'm in a room in the hospital where I'm saying, "God, I'm going to complain about this even after I get to heaven. Okay, this ain't right." And then it was 72 hours. And we couldn't, you know, if I looked at the doc and I said, "If you give me some twine, I think I can get this baby out." And he literally said, "No, we don't need the twine, but get up on your wife and push that thing out." And we had our son. And I remember the first words out of Lisa's mouth when she held Nathan was, "It's a baby." And my thought was, "Well, what were you expecting?" After 72 hours. "That which is flesh is flesh. That which is born of flesh is flesh. And nobody, even though if the tabloids say it, no sheep has ever produced a cat yet. It's just, that's the way it is." And everybody believes it all the way around the world. Universal. Even with the craziness that's going on, most people won't get into craziness concerning this. "That which is born of cat is cat. That which is born of cows is cows. That which is born of flesh is flesh." And I think I was in high school, I don't remember, maybe Deb or Marty will, but we had a guest speaker in our little friend's church. I thought his name was Oral Roberts or Roberts Oral or something. Do you remember? I thought it was Oral Roberts, but it wasn't horrible, but it was so close because I remember it was close. But anyway, he was a professor at the University of Wichita, and he came and spoke in our church, and he was a professor of Greek, you know, and he came to preach. And he said he loved to preach evangelistic meetings, but he said, so he studied John 3:16, you know, or John here on you must be born again. I remember he just made an emphasis. I wanted to really get into the Greek on that, and I dove really deep into it so I could, you know, because I wanted some sort of a punch when I was doing that, you know, you must be born again or born from above. And he said, I was kind of disappointed when I got into it, and he says it just didn't really hit home. And he said, and I don't know where he came about this, but he said, the word "you must," he said it's in the nature of the universe that you be born from above. And he said, at first I didn't think that was very powerful, but he says, I got to think about it, it became very powerful. And so I've used this in funerals, I've used this in all over the world, because I love it. When I heard it, it makes sense. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. You don't. It's just a universal law. Nobody doubts it. Nobody even tries to twist it. It is the way the whole creation, God's nature came out and what he created and his laws. And he, you know, and it says God did things. Well, part of it was he set all these laws in motion. And if you break those laws, you can say he did it. But it's not like he's picking and choosing. He's already said, when he said light be, he set this whole universe with all its physical laws and spiritual laws and everything else, and there's consequences and it works. And one of those laws is, if you want to be a cat, you're going to have to be born of a cat. If you're going to be a cow, if you want to be a human being, you got to be born of a human being. And if you want to be a child of God, you have to be born of the Spirit. Because he's spirit. And when you think about that, it's awesome. It makes sense. Do you realize being born again, the term is born, your Bible said born from above, which is actually more accurate. But it's born again is, all, you know, we say born again all the time, but there's only, I think, only four times in the Bible talks about being born again, and it's only from John and from Peter. There's other things that say it in different ways, but it's not like it's, you know, all the way through. And but Jesus said it here, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is where the kingdom of God is, and he's a spirit, so in order to get there, you got to be a spirit. And it just makes sense if you're going to, you know, he wanted us to be sons of God. In that same portion of Scripture, Jesus said, you know, those who believe, I give them the power to become children of God. John later on, you know, in 1st and 3rd, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John talks a lot about us. We are now the children of God. And that's what we're really talking about, being born into a family. It has nothing to do with a test of qualification. It has nothing to do with a performance. It has everything to do with the miraculous concept of being born, which is, you know, and Jesus said, Nicodemus, if I tell you earthly things and you don't even understand that, how are you going to understand when I talk about the real spiritual stuff? And that's a real great point. So let's talk about the natural just for a bit. Looking if there's any kids in. But when you were conceived, there was your mom's egg and then your dad's sperm, and that we call it seed. And they say they estimated most guys, when they try, make the effort. And so really what it is, it's a race. It's a contest. Who's going to get to win? And they say most have 40 to 300 million seeds. Okay, we have about 340 million people in America. Can you imagine a contest that involved everybody in America? You know, Nicodemus said something. I forgot how it came out in your translation. I liked it. Forgot how it went. But it's like, I don't understand. How can these things be? Here somebody said, well, I just have a hard time believing that. You know, it's kind of our way of saying, you know, no, you're not going to talk me into it. I have a hard time believing that. I don't believe God wants to heal everybody. I don't believe he's a good God. I don't believe what. And I think, really, you stop and think about what can we believe? Every day I'm faced with facts that do not make sense to me. And it does not make sense to me that there could be 300 million contestants. And like one guy said, man, you are a born a winner. Because you won out of 300 million contestants. And let that just kind of soak in. You know, and forgive me, but that's just a one-time deal, and there were several tries. Okay? So if you add up, you know, when you're trying to get pregnant, it could be several tries. I like trying. It's one of my favorite things. But so you go from 300 million to how many gazillion people in the contest? And every one of those seeds is absolutely unique and different. You know, if we knew more, we'd probably be scared more. We might even pray harder. Oh, Lord, let the right one win. Because when the wrong one wins, oh, it's not good. Bad attitudes, bad habits, bad everything. Or great, boy, you're just like your grandfather, you're awesome. Well, but even in that awesomeness, it's every one of those is, we know about the nature of God and the way he creates it. There's no two snowflakes, there's no two nothing the same. Now you tell me, can you comprehend that? Can you comprehend how many snowflakes there are and know that everyone's different? Can you comprehend all the different animals? Can you comprehend all the people? Nobody's the same. No fingerprints are the same. where even the world knows if they fingerprint you, they will not be mimicked. And I don't figure out how my phone figures that out so fast. How does a phone figure out when I put my thumb on it that it's me and not you? So when it says, I have a hard time believing that, well, really, face it. If we really stopped and looked at everything in life, we'd have to say, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I can't believe that. And so when you got somebody you're sharing the gospel with and they go, I have a hard time believing that, just once in a while say to them, what, you have an easy time believing it? And give them an example and just say, you think you actually are so smart and so understanding and so complete and so much in your thinking that you've got a right to judge? I mean, I don't know what I'm trying to say here other than blah, 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 blah. Who in the world can believe anything that's really going on right now and comprehend it? It's magnificent. And to think that billions of people on the earth today, and they're all unique and different. And then if you've ever watched a lamb being born, if you ever watched a calf, if you ever watched anything being born, it is amazing. Our family talked about it all the time. So often was we're delivering lambs, you know, and they come out and they shake their head and get all that stuff off and they go, ooh, you know, and it's 20 below zero. And they start breathing and you go, oh my gosh, isn't this a miraculous? I don't know if you've ever given mouth to mouth to a lamb, but I have. You know, and they gasp and breathe. It's pretty cool, isn't it, Fred? Pretty cool. And then when your own child, your daughter, your son gets your first, when you actually have a child and you see him come out, you go, this is unbelievable. And this little being has a lifetime now of extraordinary things to happen to it. Good, bad, ugly, whatever. I just did a funeral for Steve Berry's mom, and I said, 85 years ago, that miracle took place. But what was incredible is that in Oregon, the state of Oregon, 85 years ago, she was conceived. And then she had 85 years. Think about all the experiences you get in your lifetime that are so precious and powerful and sometimes very hurtful, but it's a lot of stuff happens. And just because one out of 300 million won the race, I mean, it's just almost spooky. But then to think that the Bible says, before you're even conceived, I knew you. Before the foundations of the earth were laid, I knew you. How do you understand that? I mean, the numbers are staggering. The difference of what happens is staggering. So when you see something be born, I won't go there much, but, I don't know how a doctor can deliver a baby one moment and then take a baby the next. To me, there's no logical connection there. There's a disconnect when you can't put the two together. What if we could actually see what happened and how it happened when we got born from above? People get pregnant every day that didn't expect to get pregnant. And one of the things that's, again, I can't believe it. And then one fun ones is, how did that happen? Well, everybody knows there's one way. But it happened, and sometimes unbeknownst to everybody. And being born from the Spirit is somewhat similar. It's so simple. It's one of the most powerful, complicated things. You won't experience a greater miracle than being born from above in your whole lifetime. When people say, I just can't believe God actually can heal people or raise somebody from the dead. Well, do you even comprehend at all what happened when you got conceived that little bitty egg and that little bitty seed. I mean, it's so small you can, and everything was there to not only to get you born, but to finish out. It knows when your hair is going to turn gray. It knows when your eyes are going to go bad. It knows all that is in that stinking little seed. When you plant a little seed and it starts to grow up, it knows which way to go up. It knows what to do with the roots. It knows how to fight disease. And someday it becomes this gigantic tree, 1,000 years old. And it all started from this little acorn. How unbelievable is that? How much information can you stick in one little thing like that and program it? And design it to heal, to deliver. You know, you think about your own bodies, how it knows how to take a cut and not let you bleed out. That in itself is one of the greatest miracles, and we just nonchalantly think, oh, everybody just gets healed when you get a cut. And the people say, I just can't already believe that God really loves me. You can't believe anything anyway. I mean, I don't know. We're just idiots. But our capacity is so small. And so I hope that this is kind of tweaking your foundation just a little bit of saying, my God, when we hear that God wants to do something, who am I to say, well, I don't think he wants to do that. I mean, who? There's just the evidence is all around us that this is one heck of a miraculous life and existence, and it's way beyond my comprehension how he does it all and why he did it all. That which is born of spirit is spirit. What if we could actually see what took place? And again, coming back to, you know, sometimes you plan for a child and you're working hard to get a child. And other times it's, it just happened to know, and you had no idea. And yet a child is born. And in being born of the Spirit, let me tell you a couple stories. You know, it's like, We get educated in this stuff, and so we start trying to figure out how are we going to get people born again. Let's have a big class. Let's have this meeting. Let's have this word. Teach this word. You know, and that's all good because you know the Bible compares the seed of a man to the seed of the Word of God on how we get born. And that seed comes into our heart, and that's how we get born from above. We're actually born into the family of God because we have His seed from which is His Word coming into us. You know, and just like there's 300 million in one shot for the natural birth, there's gazillion. It's not like you got to read the whole Bible to get born again. It's not like you need to have all your theology right. It's not like you need to know all the doctrines of some church or some. You know, we have all these rules in ours how we do it, but the truth is, there are people that got born again with one little simple thought. I mean, you don't have to have all the thoughts. And I met this guy, he was my interpreter when I got to Vietnam, and we were heading on a bus, and somebody says, you're going to sit with this guy because he's going to be your interpreter when we get on the beach, and we were leaving town so that we could worship freely and sing and all, and you know and preach without being busted and you know and go to jail. And so I'm on the bus, and he introduced me. His name is Joe, and I heard his story, and his story was absolutely, to this day, just touches me, how he got born again, and I won't go into the story, but he tried everything he could to get to America and couldn't get it. He finally got, he had nothing that gave him the right to leave the country, but as a young little boy, he just wanted to leave Vietnam and wanted to get to America, and ended up, he had got on this little boat with about 15, 16, 20 other people that should have handled maybe five. And they head out of the ocean trying to get to a refugee camp. And they just scared the poo out of me to be on that. And they ended up drifting. Their motor died out in the middle of the ocean. And this little boat, just a small thing. Yeah, but he tossed and turned. And he said, we drifted into land and found out we were in China. And he said, we took our gold rings and sold them and got the part that we needed on the motor so we could get back out in the ocean and try and get to Hong Kong. He finally gets to Hong Kong, which is a refugee camp, and it's just a horrible situation. He ends up trying to hang himself because he just got so depressed. But somebody came to that refugee camp from Australia, and somebody and they said, does anybody know English or anybody know how to interpret or something? And he said, the one guy said, I know a few words. And this guy got up and he shared, and he said, we really don't remember what he shared. Nobody knew really how to interpret anything, but he said, a whole bunch of us got born again. He couldn't even explain it to me, and I'm sitting there going, what? How do you do that? We organize, we set up some meetings, we plan, we pray, we put out tracts, we get preachers preaching for hours trying to get people saved. We got all the details figured out, whatever else, trying to convince them. And this guy gets up and they maybe get two or three words out, and a bunch of people got born from above. Well, that's kind of amazing, don't you think? When you think, I don't think God can save my uncle, I think he's got ways. And then I thought, then he said, and then within a few weeks, we just, so we just knew God loved us. And we knew we were free. We didn't really know any Bible or anything. We start going around, and he said, we start laying hands on people, and they start getting healed. I said, did anybody teach you? He said, no. He said, for life, man, I don't know why we did it. We just did it. He said, there was one man there that was a major alcoholic and drunk, and he was just dying. And he said, I went over and prayed and said, man, God loves you, and whatever. And he got miraculously healed and got born again. They had miracles just taking place like crazy. And I think, does that make any sense to you? We try so hard, we believe, we pray, we do all these things, and yet somebody doesn't even know what's going on, starts laying hands on them, they all start speaking in tongues, they start being led by the Spirit of God on who they went to and what they did. And he said, it was just awesome. He says, in my life, he said, radically changed all my life. I just wanted to be free all my life. I just wanted to leave Vietnam. And he says, I just knew I was supposed to go back to Vietnam and share this good news with my people. And he said, I signed a document and said, I want to go back to Vietnam. The next day, the authorities came in and said, everybody that's here can go to any country they want to right now. We're going to shut this place down. And so he could have gone, but he already signed the document to go back to Vietnam. But he said, I wanted to, and he sat beside me. By the way, I was in a little bit of a down mood that day, wondering what I was doing in Vietnam and wanting to go home. So I didn't minister to the people in Vietnam. He ministered to me. I said, you're like, I wept, I cried. God, you're awesome. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. You must be born. It's in the nature of the whole universe. This is how it happens. And it's when the word comes in. And that word can take the shape of million, gazillion different ways. You and I worry so much. Don't we worry sometimes when we're going to pray for somebody? What if I don't say the right words? What if I don't say it right? I had one guy had an opportunity. A friend of mine, he just said, man, a fellow farmer was crying out, just saying, I don't understand what life's about. I wish I knew where I was going or whatever else. And my brother and I were talking to him, and we said, well, did you tell him about Jesus? He said, no. He said, I don't have a college degree in that. I didn't know if I'd screw it up. We all think that way more, right? Well, I'm not qualified. I don't want to mess it up. And it's like, oh, I'm sorry, but the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, has got a gazillion ways to plant one thought into somebody's heart, and they can be born from above, and it starts a process that will take them throughout eternity. This is not your ability that's going to get this done. It's not your education. It's not your great gifting. It's just, this is God's plan. And he does it billions of times in the natural that produce all these wonderful people on the earth and horrible people. But in the spiritual realm, that's his goal for all eternity. We could take a deep breath and say, let's just work with him. Whatever he tells you to do, do. Keep believing. Admit that you can't really grasp it all. Never will. Don't think you're ever going to figure this out to where you do it perfectly, because it doesn't need to be done perfectly. It just needs to take place. There's a lady in Ireland. I'll close with this. I was in Ireland, and we went down to this little coffee shop where they just, you know, took care of people off the street and everything, just to witness to them and love them. We were down there, and that's kind of different for me. I honestly haven't been around that many drug addicts and all that, and I'm not much of the evangelist that just wants to go out and pound on doors. But anyway, we were there, and we were just sharing with a few people coming in, having coffee, you know, in this little place. And this lady walked through the door, and you know how we talk about the presence will make a difference? This lady walked through the door, and there's just like the air went out of the room. And she just, I don't know how to explain it, but she just looked like death. An older lady, probably 60, well, older, 65, I guess. That's an old story. And Les Dodds was with me, and he was the one that took me over there, and he just smiled at me. He said, "That one's yours." And I said, "Okay." And I sat down with her, and I mean, there was a presence, there was a heaviness, it was real, it was surreal. And we sat down, and she just stared off into nowhere. I started trying to ask her questions about what was going on. It was like I was talking to a wall. And finally she said, gave me the story about her son died, her husband died. I mean, just the hideous, stupid thing. I mean, everybody in her life had just died, and she was broke, and she was, it was just like, the spirit of hopelessness came over me. I mean, man, God, I didn't know what to do. And I finally just held her hand, and I said, "Can I pray for her?" She says, "I don't care." And I said, what brought you here? Remember this, no one comes to Jesus unless the Spirit of God draws him. I said, what brought you here? She said, "I'm taking so many drugs, and I went to my doctor, and I've overdosed so many times, and he just told me, he said, you're hopeless, I can't save you anymore, go find somebody that'll pray for you." And so she said, "I walked out the door and I saw this sign here, we pray for people." And so I walked in. It impacted me. I prayed with her. I wept. I cried. I went to a room by myself and wept. I said, "God, this is more than I can comprehend, the hopelessness of people. We got all these answers, but what about it?" I mean, her whole life's just everything that could go wrong had gone wrong. And she's left all alone. It really impacted me. Well, a couple years later, I was there. Les went back. And he came back and said, would you find out if anything happened with the old lady? And he said he went back, and she was in church, totally alive, happy. And he went to her and said, "What happened?" She says, "I got born again." And he said, "My friend from America prayed for you." He says, do you remember?" She says, "Tell him thanks, but I don't remember him at all. I was so stoned. I was so high. I was not comprehending anything. I barely remember that I came here." But the next day when I sobered up, something in my heart said, something good took place. Go back to that place. And I came here, and they shared with me, and I got saved. It's a great story, isn't it? God loves people. And when you think about all the things you got to decide and all the problems you got, just remember this. Jesus said this, "Nobody's greater than John the Baptist, but the least in the kingdom of God is greater than him." The moment you accept this little simple word, whether you got it from the big theologian or you just heard it on the radio or some little guy that can't even speak English tells you, That person that gets born from above is greater than John the Baptist, has a greater place with God. They're part of the family of God. They will never be taken away from them. They'll live with Jesus forever. They'll grow up and they'll find out all that he's placed inside them. You and I will find out just how incredibly miraculous our life is in the spiritual realm. Father, we pray for people to be drawn to you, to your son Jesus. What may seem hopeless to us, I thank you that you're a God of love, and we may debate you and argue doctrine all day long, but you are a God that redeems people. Your story about sending Jesus here is what is the seed that goes into people's hearts that produces the most miraculous birth for somebody to be actually a son of God forever. And all I can say today is, I don't understand it, but I choose to trust you. And may we all just now walk as children of God. As you said, those who get born from above are like the wind. Nobody knows where they're coming from or where they're going. So why should we try to figure it out? We're just blowing with you in the wind, but wherever we go, you're orchestrating this good news, the power of God unto salvation. And we're believing for everybody around us and all around the world. We join you, Father, in your quest for your love of the world. We join you. What you love, we love. We trust you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. God bless you.